Throughout the weekend, Israeli forces escalated operations around Gaza City, pounding the suburbs from air and ground, destroying homes and driving more families out of the area. Local health authorities said at least 30 people, including children and those trying to access aid from a site in central Gaza, were killed. The death toll in Gaza now exceeding 63,000. Among the dead this weekend, according to Israel, Abu Obeida, spokesperson for Hamas's armed wing. And as the build-up to Israel's assault on Gaza City continued, campaigner Greta Thunberg and Irish actor Liam Cunningham set sail for Gaza as part of the largest flotilla of boats carrying aid for the Strip, and we'll hear about that as well a little later on. Adam Parsons is Sky News Middle East correspondent. He joins us now from Jerusalem. And Adam, bring us up to date first of all from the latest in and around Gaza City, now labelled by Israel as a dangerous combat zone. What is happening in relation to the ground and air bombardment?
Well, I think, Mary, that that first description is unarguable. It is dangerous and it is a conflict zone. It's also a highly populated area because Gaza City has at the moment about 1 million people in it, maybe more. The Israelis have been saying for a while people should leave, that they should evacuate Gaza City, that they should head south to areas that the Israeli military say they've established as humanitarian areas. The indications are that so far, very few people, you know, maybe 10, 20,000 out of that 1 million plus have gone. I would expect that flow to increase because the Israeli military is stepping up its attacks. And over the weekend, we've seen images of really significant bombardments, including one that allegedly killed Abu Obeida. But in attacks, we've seen images of children who have been killed as well. And mainly in the, it's towards the northeast and the southeast of Gaza City. And this is the precursor to what we anticipate in relatively short order to be a huge military operation to, A, take Gaza City. Well, let's be honest, that shouldn't be difficult for the Israeli military to do. But the thing that will be very hard for them to do is their ambition of flushing out Hamas fighters, because they don't know how many there are, they don't know where they are, they don't know what tactics they're going to use. And this will be guerrilla warfare between a huge army and a small force who are using drones, car bombs, tunnels. And as history has taught us many, many times, those sort of asymmetric battles between a giant army and a small guerrilla force are never as straightforward as the big army might hope.
And while that escalation is continuing in Gaza City, are you seeing as well an intensification of the protests in cities, particularly Tel Aviv? And if there is an intensification, is it having any impact at all on the Israeli government?
The answer to that is yes, there are more protests. There was one in Tel Aviv yesterday outside security headquarters. There have been ones here in Jerusalem. There have been roads that have been stopped. There is, today is the first day of Israeli school children going back to school, and some of those school children are saying that they will boycott the first day of school under a campaign saying, I don't want to learn to live like this. So yes, there are protests, and many of them involve the voices of the families of hostages, who obviously carry huge weight in this country, because everyone agrees that the government's primary objective, whether you support the government or not, everyone is saying, well, the first thing we have to do is get the hostages out. So when you have hostage families saying the government is getting this wrong, that resonates with some people, with a lot of people in Israel, but it doesn't seem to be knocking the government off course at all.
There are several moving parts here now, and just to concentrate on two more, we have now the question of Palestinians being refused entry to the United States, and this is going to affect Mahmoud Abbas apparently attending the United Nations General Assembly in the next week or so, and I'll move on after that maybe to annexation in the West Bank. But on those passports, first of all, is that now clear that Abbas and other senior Palestinian officials will be unable to leave the West Bank to travel to the United States to attend a United Nations gathering?
Yeah, well, that is what the United States is saying is that it will not give visas to these people, Mahmoud Abbas and dozens of other people associated with the Palestinian Authority and or the PLO. Now, as you might imagine, this has caused uproar, not just among that delegation, but among many others, those in the European Union, for instance, saying that this is a breach of the UN Charter, that the United States is the host of the UN, but it's not the arbiter of the UN. And so, yes, the Palestinian Authority is furious about this. But I think what this tells you is that the bond between Israel and the United States, or more specifically, I would say, between Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, and Donald Trump, is absolutely rock solid. And that, Mary, is right at the basis of so much of what is happening now, is that as long as the Israeli government thinks that they have got the Americans on their side, they feel empowered to do whatever they want. And so this is an indication of exactly that. The flip side is that they are furious with governments who are standing up against them. And the fact that the French and others have said, but initially it was the French who said they were going to recognize State of Palestine, has caused so much anger with Netanyahu and some of his more right-wing colleagues in government that they are now talking about going for what they call full sovereignty over the West Bank. Now, what exactly that means, what it looks like, hard to call, but that's a strong bit of rhetoric.
Adam Parsons, Sky News Middle East correspondent. Thank you. 20 minutes past 7.